Welcome. My name's Annie, and I'm from Microsoft. I'm a community evangelist, and I'm here with
Walt Richer.
Awesome. So, Walt Richer, what do you do?
I am a trainer, a video trainer, or it's called a staff author at lynda.com, which is part of LinkedIn.
Oh, cool.
And LinkedIn bought us about 6 months ago, and we're producing a bunch of new content for them. Uh-huh. I do the Microsoft topics. I do developer topics for them.
Cool. And I heard you're here with some specialties on user experience.
Yeah, so I've always been interested in the user, the interface part of the application. So I've always gravitated towards things like building interfaces or doing effects or game type applications.
Oh, okay.
And of course, for businesses, you need some way of taking your information and showing it on the screen. And over the years, there's been a lot of different changes there. So I'm talking about data visualization at this conference.
Cool. Okay, so how many sessions are you going to be talking about?
I'm going to be doing one session, which is an hour. I think we're doing an hour session here. I have about an hour and 30 minutes worth of material, so I'm paring it down for this one. I'm not showing a lot of code in this demonstration. I'm talking about mostly, I'm trying to get the idea across that our human optical system that we have is very good at picking out patterns if you can figure out a way to let the brain and the eyes do the work. So I talk about motion, and I talk about how, you've ever noticed, like, on the screen, if something moves just a little bit, your eye catches it?
Yeah.
Or, you know, that the peripheral vision that we have, we can see things on the side that you turn. What is that?
Definitely. Or blinking lights.
Right. So if you can leverage that, if you've got data, if you can show your users two pieces of data, one after the other, and there's even a 2 or 3 pixel difference in the images between them, showing them one and showing the other, the human brain and the human eye can see that difference almost instantly. So if you can figure out, if you're a programmer and you have a batch of data, and let's say scientific data, and you're trying to find the anomalies in it, we'll then figure out a way to let the researcher look at the two back and forth. And of course, if you do 3 or 4 images in a series, then you end up with an animation, right? So then you do a series of 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 pictures and let them glean more information out of it.
Interesting.
And the other thing I like to talk about is time-based data, right? If you have a set of data that is, if you've taken a time snapshot, and you've got that as part of your data, well then one of the best things you can do with that data is animate it. Basically, if you got a, if you took a piece of data at 1 o'clock today and 2 o'clock today and 3 o'clock today and did that for 5 days, if you can take that data and animate the
time. Like a time-lapse kind of thing.
Exactly. And then you can see all sorts of powerful patterns.
Okay.
One of my favorite things, I know we can't show the demonstration today, but one of the things you should look at is something called NASA's Perpetual Ocean, which is, they took about 10 years of oceanographic current information and they did a time lapse on it, so you can see the way the currents flow all around the globe.
Right, and it looks almost like a movie.
It looks like a movie. And then they put some nice music behind it, and suddenly you feel good about watching that scientific information.
So it's almost like you're taking data and turning it into a movie almost, so you can find all the differences between the pictures?
Yes.
Cool, okay. So what kind of practical applications do you use this for?
Well, you would use it for, that's the hard part, right? Is as companies, we have all this information. We're gathering data at phenomenal rates. That's why we have the whole big data, that we have vendors here at the conference that are talking about their different databases that they have. So I see it as 3 parts. We have the database part, and we have all these big data engines now where we can gather the information, figure out how to store it efficiently, pull it out efficiently, query it efficiently. And then we have, in the last 10 years or so, we've got this idea of data science. So we're coming with all these new algorithms that can let us analyze the information very efficiently. So we can pull that data out of the storage and then figure out patterns or ways of slice.
Machine learning with it.
Exactly. And so we're figuring out how to pull that data out and bring it down to a smaller size or an interesting bit of information. And then my part that I'm talking about is how to take that information you got from there and show it to the screen. And that really depends on what your company stores.
Right.
So my talk, I'm not showing a lot of code. I'm just talking about the principles of what makes good data visualizations. And I talk about the differences between data visualization and infographics and what motion graphics are.
Gotcha. So what are some instances where you might detect some motion in data?
Well, again, it would just depend on your your sample. So like the example I used a few minutes ago was scientific data, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got a researcher who's trying to find there's something wrong. We can't figure out what the differences are between this experiment and that experiment, mm-hmm. right? So if you can figure out the common, how to pull that data out in similar ways and overlay them mm-hmm. over top of each other, and then when you switch back and forth, you can see the differences. I also talk a little bit about color theory, although I don't know if I get a chance to talk about that today.
Gotcha.
That's not today, it's Thursday when I talk about it.
Right. Yeah, maybe looking at different colors would help you to detect different types of problems as well.
Well, the thing I talk about in colors is developers are typically not good at design.
Okay.
Right? And so
yeah, I can see that.
When you go to build a graph, let's say we all know how to do pie charts and bar graphs and mm-hmm. line charts and things like, which is basically a simple type of data visualization.
Right.
Okay. And if you, a developer often is just going to pick a color at random, or you know, we want to do four bars, mm-hmm. right? And we're going to do red, green, orange, and yellow. Mm-hmm. Right, just because those are four different colors. They're not thinking about the colors. First of all, using red and green is not good because 10% of the population is colorblind and can't tell the differences between them. So I talk about that.
That's interesting.
And then the other thing is there's no innate, when you talk about color, there's nothing that says purple is good and green is bad. If you're like trying to show data, there's we've got a few colors that we like, red and blue. Our opposites, like in the political spectrum here in the United States, mm-hmm. but there's nothing innate about the colors. So, if you're trying to show, I have an example where I talk about cancer deaths, right? The number of cancer deaths in the counties in Washington State. Mm-hmm. Which county in Washington State has the highest cancer rate?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and so if you take and show some counties in blue and some counties in green and some counties in red. And
right, some, and it almost looks like a political spectrum.
Well, it just looks like a big mess. And
yeah.
then you can't tell, unless you look at the legend, you can't mm-hmm. tell
what
whether,
it all means.
Well, is purple the high or is purple low?
I mean, right?
Is green high or is green low? Mm-hmm. So the trick there is you use
gradients?
Yes, or you use mm-hmm. saturation.
Oh, okay.
The color saturation. So you pick one color, mm-hmm. and you have low saturated colors and you have high saturated
right.
colors, and then you say the high saturated colors, the darker colors, are the ones that are high in ratios, and low, the low saturation would be the least amount of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then anybody can look at that map instantly and say, these are the three counties that have the highest cancer rates. These
you
are
quickly
the four.
Understand.
Yeah, because you're leveraging something that's we don't think about in our, mm-hmm. it's natural in the human mind. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. So when you're displaying these types of graphs or user experiences, do you relate them to like applications or websites or reports or?
Well, the thing about data vision is it can work in all those, mm-hmm. right? So again, it's the developer has to figure out how to get that data to show. So if you're building a website and you want to show information to the users, you're going to build graphs or there's all sorts of things. There's something called D3, which is a JavaScript library for showing data. And one of its strengths is that it has the ability to animate between data sets. Like if you, like, you know, we all expect this now on our phones. When you move to a new set of data, it kind of zooms in and some bars shrink and some bars grow,
mm-hmm.
right? So your brain has this idea of, this information is shrinking or this information is growing. And again, we see a relationship between that. Things like if you move a bar graph up and down over time and one of them moves faster than the other, then your audience can quickly say the one that's moving faster has the highest growth rate. Again,
right.
you're taking advantage of the fact we can figure out.
And that's the motion part.
That's the motion part.
I see.
Right.
So you're saying like on your phone you might experience that too. Where would you experience that on your phone?
In any app.
Right. Or maybe scrolling, right? Like when you're scrolling, at first it moves really quickly, but then it starts to move slower as
right.
it slows down.
Well, that's actually a user interaction piece, which is another part which I'm really fascinated with. I'm not talking about it that week, but that's another side of these same principles.
Mm-hmm.
So now when you're talking about an application, and you like when you move from one screen to another, do you just flip immediately from one screen to the other, or do you slide it in from the side? That's
mm-hmm.
what we all expect now. We've been trained with our application, but again, it's human nature.
And the feedback that you're getting from it.
Right. And so that's not actually data visualization. That's more of a user interaction.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it seems like the visualization can be used for so many different applications.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's my point. It's like what I'm trying to get across is that there's I don't know what kind of data my attendees are going to have, right? But I just want them to see the power of these of what we have, these techniques, and how our brains and eyes work. And if you know that, then you'll look at the way when it comes time for you to show your data 2 months from now after you go back to your work. When it comes time to show that data, you'll think about it and say, well, is this a bit? How's the best way to show this?
Right. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for talking to us about data visualization.
Thank you very much.